Good morning, class. Welcome back to the virtual classroom. Today, we're going to go ahead and continue reading Poppy by Avi, which is illustrated by Brandon Floca. And we are reading this with permission from Harper Trophy, an imprint of HarperCollins Publishers. All right, so we went ahead and, you know, we've been learning that good readers determine who the important characters are, and they think about what they know about the characters based on clues in the text. So really, you know, up to this point, we have been trying to get to know our characters. And, you know, that's all good readers do that. We want to know our characters. So today, what I'm going to do is we're going to shift just a little bit here, and I'm going to go ahead and teach you that good readers use details in a story, and that helps them to visualize the setting of the story, because that's another important story element is the setting. And setting really is made up of two things, the time that the story takes place and also the actual physical location of it. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. So today we're going to be using the map actually at the front of the book to help us visualize the setting of our story, which is the Dimwood region. So I want you to go ahead, listen as I model how I think about clues in the story that help me visualize this setting. And again, notice how I use the map to help me visualize the setting a little bit better. So when I go ahead and verbalize my thinking, it's going to be with a stem. You know, when the book said, and I'll give you an example of what the book said, I visualized something, and this helps me to understand a little bit better. All right, so if we could, let's go ahead, open up your copy of Poppy to page 17, please. Chapter 3, Poppy Alone. Poppy glanced to the east. The horizon was streaked with layers of pink and red. Did that make it night or day? Neither. It was impossible to guess then if the owl was still awake, as he was at night, or asleep, as he was by day. Besides, the place in Dimwood Forest where Mr. Okak slept, not the same as his watching post, was unknown. He kept it secret. As if she might discover it, Poppy gazed into the forest. All she could make out was a great mass of dark trees. No wonder it was called Dim, she thought, and shuddered. So, in this section of the text, Poppy is at the edge of Dimwood Forest, and she is near Mr. Okak's watching post, and she knows that Mr. Okak has a nest somewhere in Dimwood Forest, but no one knows where it is, you know, because he keeps that location secret. So here's kind of what I'm thinking here. Is when the book said that Poppy gazed into Dimwood Forest looking for Mr. Okak's nest, I visualized this tiny mouse looking up to the tops of huge trees. And this helps me understand how small Poppy is compared to the trees in Dimwood Forest and how scared she must be. So to help me visualize where Poppy is right now in the story, I'm going to go ahead and look at the map of Dimwood region in order to locate Bannock Hill, because that's where her and Ragweed were when the incident happened. We're also going to be looking at Mr. Okak's watching post and Mr. Okak's nest. So if you could, open up to the very beginning of the book, and you'll see there is a picture, a map drawn of this area of Dimwood region. Now, we want to know, first of all, where is Poppy located right now? Well, we know she's over at Bannock Hill, up on Bannock Hill. Take a moment. Do you see it? Where is it at? Actually, if you look over on the right-hand side, out in the open there, about almost just below halfway down the page, we see Bannock Hill. And it looks like there's really nothing there. It looks like one or two trees that are planted on the hill, but it looks pretty barren. If we look into the woods now, we look just kind of north toward the top of the page from Bannock Hill, we can see Okak's watching tree there. So he was up in that tree looking and trying to see if there was any movement out in these fields. And unfortunately for Ragweed and Poppy, he noticed them. So that's his watching tree there. So that gives me a kind of an idea and helps me paint this picture in my mind of this setting. And then we go further to the left of where Okak's watching tree is. We see that his nest is somewhere in the center of Dimwood Forest. Again, the exact location is not known because he keeps that secret. But I really like when books go ahead and give you a map of the area where the story is taking place. That helps tremendously with visualizing the terrain, the setting that the story takes place. And then you add on top of that the author's word choice, and it paints a very, very take the author's word choice coupled with this map really, really paint a vivid picture for me as I move through books. All right, if we could, let's go back to page 17, and we'll go ahead and continue or pick up where we left off. Poppy considered the distance from the north side of Bannock Hill, where she was hiding, to the dwelling on the abandoned farm where she and her family lived, Gray House. It was about the length of four cornfields. Poppy decided she'd best race from one protected spot to another in quick, low belly runs. She peeked out from beneath the bark again. There was a fallen branch up ahead, but it was leafless, so it would provide no cover. Beyond the branch, however, she spied a rock with a crevice just large enough to wedge into. Poppy decided to aim for that. Whiskers stiffly alert, breathing deeply to catch the smallest whiff of danger, she crept out from under the protective piece of bark. If only, she kept saying to herself, if only Mr. Okak was not watching. Do you get a sense of this suspense building here as she's about to go ahead and make a run for it? So when the book said that Poppy decided she must run from one protected spot to another, what were you visualizing there? The author used some pretty cool language in describing that. So again, I'll give you a little bit of think time. Go ahead and push pause on the recording here in just a moment. And again, what were you thinking and what did you see when you read that part? Poppy decided she must run from one protected spot to another. All right, I'm going to go ahead and like I said, I take the author's words and I'm going to go ahead and look at the map again at the front of the book. So flip back to the front of the book. You know, we know that she's heading to Gray House. And first of all, I want to find where Gray House is on our map. We know where Bannock Hill is. And it said that, you know, she was going to run south towards Gray House. So I look towards the bottom of the map here, and I see Gray House down in the lower right-hand corner. And you know, to help me visualize this, she said she wanted to go from cover to cover. And I look at Bannock Hill, there's nothing there. There's no trees. Again, moving towards Gray House, she's not coming across any trees. So it's pretty open terrain there. You know, she has to cross what looks like a road before she can get to the house. So yeah, moving across open fields with few places to hide, with the possibility of an owl watching and looking for you, not a good place to be for Poppy. All right, now, as I read this next part, I want you to continue to pay attention to details in the story. And I want you to use those details, again, to help you visualize the setting. Let's go ahead and return to page 17, and we'll pick it up. But Mr. Okax was watching. He was perched perfectly still on the dead branch of his tree with very wide open eyes. Not for a moment had he ceased staring at Poppy's hiding place. If there was one thing the owl hated more than a creature who neglected to ask permission to move about the territory, it was a creature who escaped punishment for not asking. How could he keep the mice terrified if any one of them got away with that? No, this Poppy must not escape. Mr. Okax belched, bringing up a pellet of ragweed's bones and fur, as well as the earring, which he had been unable to digest. The pellet fell to the ground to lie among a large pile of other pellets. Intently, the owl moved his head from side to side, back and forth, adjusting his depth of vision. In time, he saw Poppy's pink nose poke out from under her hiding place. Then he watched as she raced toward a rock. At last, the mouse was on the move. Mr. Okax clacked his beak with pleasure, spread his wings, and leapt into the air. Okay. So we continue to learn more details about the setting in this story. When the book said that Mr. Okax, who was watching Poppy from his tree, saw Poppy's pink nose poke out from her hiding place, what were you visualizing? What was that picture like in your mind? I want you to go ahead and think about that. Jot some notes down in your notebook about that. And then we're going to go ahead and talk about that on Wednesday when we have our Zoom meeting. So again, I go back to the map at the beginning, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm looking at Mr. Okax, where he's at in the tree. I'm looking at Bannockheel, where Poppy's at. She starts running. Okax takes flight. What do you think the distance is between these locations? You know, I mean, the tree where Okax is watching and where Poppy is, you know, how far do you think that is? And how do you think, what do you think of Mr. Okax's eyesight? You know, and then again, think of the distance from Bannockheel to Gray's house, which is safety for Poppy. Okay, all of these things are helping us in understanding this setting. And again, using the map, using the author's words, we create this picture in our mind. And, you know, I had a student last year. It was really cool. We were talking about visualizing. And, you know, when an author uses these really, really vivid descriptive words, it's as if you're watching a movie in color, you know, a color movie. When the language is not exciting, when the language is not very descriptive, you may get a picture in your mind, but it may only be a black and white movie. So again, the more descriptive language that the author uses, coupled with, in this case, the map that we have, we get a very vivid color picture in our mind. And yeah, like I said, a student described it that way last year, and I thought, yeah, man, that is a cool way of thinking about this. All right, so I hope you enjoyed this piece of Poppy. And I know some of you are probably sitting there screaming, no, you can't stop right there. Well, if one thing you'll learn this year is, you know, I'm going to leave you hanging and wanting more. So until tomorrow, we'll find out what happens to Poppy once Mr. Okax takes flight. Enjoy. Peace.